David Bride and his family have been union workers for decades. He works for the city of Indianapolis, and his wife is a nurse. Remote work in their household was never in the cards.
I think that the workers who put their lives on the line, like my wife, my grandson that works at the grocery store, a union employee, we have to always have a voice where we can say, hey, this is not safe.
He serves as the president of the Central Indiana AFL-CIO. His employer and many others are taking the proper precautions, but Bride knows that's not the case everywhere.
It's essential that if you are an essential worker, that you feel that your job, your employer, is going to make sure that you're safe.
Estimates from the United Way show more than half of Hoosier workers are considered essential, which is more than in 47 other states. Experts have mixed feelings on how legislative language could affect workers and businesses. Indiana University Maurer School of Law professor Jody Madeira says the legislature is allowed to constrain the types of harm about which you can sue. She believes the Senate bill strikes a balance between competing interests.
This goes back to the fact that this doesn't prevent lawsuits altogether, right? Businesses will still have to defend and say, this is what we did that was reasonable.
But there could be unintended consequences, especially with the current House version. While a cadre of industry groups testified in favor of the bill, not everyone is on board. Neil Gath is an attorney that represents the AFL-CIO, a group that advocates for more than 50,000 Hoosier workers. He worries the bill sets the bar too high for average workers, but has even greater concerns with the House version. If passed, the House bill would forbid courts from recognizing local, state, and federal mask mandates. Experts say the mandates could still be argued, but it would be more difficult for plaintiffs. Additionally, current House language would require plaintiffs to find an Indiana or surrounding state physician to testify on their behalf. For Gath, the language places the needs of businesses over the rights of workers.
If someone followed the rules and, you know, did the proper precautions, we think they have an argument for immunity. If someone flouted the rules, didn't follow the precautions, why should they get immunity for their actions?
Both Madeira and Gath agree courts will have to interpret how to apply whichever language is passed, and he has a hard time thinking about how to argue these cases for clients.
It would be multiple high hurdles. You would have to have very certain facts, both medically and in terms of exposure and carelessness or intent in order to meet that kind of burden.
Bride understands the need to protect businesses, but he also worries the legislature will side with them before essential workers.
If you put something in place where an employer doesn't have to worry about consequences of their actions, then that's not good for workers, and that's not good for Indiana.
Legislators and trade groups insist they're not trying to limit worker rights, rather shield businesses from burdensome lawsuits. More than a dozen states have already passed some type of COVID-19 liability protections. For WFIU News, I'm Brock Turner.